And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 161. It's a Thursday evening, so we are here to preview the week's fab coming up for you, week 22. Talk some recent news and much, much more. First off, you can find me on Twitter at BDentric. You can find the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod. And you can find this gentleman after he's done hoisting the national championship trophy on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how are you doing, my friend?
Doing great, man. Yeah, reached the mountaintop. We are in year, it only took year three to rebuild Nebraska into a back to where they've been, a national powerhouse, a national title. So reached the mountaintop, reached my goal. I can now put a little more time into it, into this podcast going forward. So yeah, I'm doing well, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great. It's Thursday night. A little rejuvenated now that we're starting the show, having some fun here. Gonna preview week 22 fab as we're getting close to the end here. And, because I think we have six more weeks after this one, so enjoy it while you can. And it's gonna be a fun one. We got some call ups to discuss, more injury news, and every time we think it might be a weird week in Fab, it turns out to be pretty fun. So keep grinding as we're grinding, and we'll get you to home on this one. Just for a reminder, though, to everybody, next Tuesday, no Bloom Board previewing the 2025 too early meatball DC draft. So get ready for that if you want some 2025 takes. You can make it happen. And there's Uncle Ted. I was waiting for this one right out the gate. Can I say it? Weston Wilson, baby. Weston Wilson hit for the cycle on Thursday night for the Philadelphia Phillies. 10th Philly player in history to hit for the cycle. So there you go, Ted. You're welcome. Anything else, Brian, before we talk some recent news here?
No, looking forward to the – I've actually started some prep for our draft next Wednesday, which, you know, got some formulas, got some numbers and projections going. So I can't wait for that. That's going to be fun. Preview show next Tuesday. I've got the third pick. You've got the eighth pick.
Yep, got right? The eighth pick. Took one for the team for the content that we create on the show. No Point Nine was draft next to each other. So, yes, eighth.
Yep, got a question. Got a question in the chat. Just wondering how many hours of game time is 3 years of the college football game. Prefer not to answer that one.
If you have to ask, you do. Don't want to know.
Yeah. Or my. Yeah. Exactly.
Doesn't want his wife to hear, or his work to hear,
or employer, or
anything. Or, yeah.
More so, employer.
Yeah. So yeah, he does it late in the night. A lot of coffee.
All games are played during lunch, at night, et cetera, et cetera. So we're good.
He actually has played a few while we're recording the show, so it's all good.
Yeah, he's actually, like that. Our last Fab preview, I actually played a game during the show. So obviously kidding. Well,
yes, let's get to the news and notes here. We'll start with one that really doesn't have any ramifications on any ads, but does potentially have a drop. The Brewers made it official on Thursday. Christian Yelich will have season-ending back surgery. When the news broke, Ryan, we were kind of like, this doesn't sound great. If he comes back, it might be for a week or two to get ready for the postseason. Well, now he's not coming back at all. So if you did hold on to him now, you could drop him. Any further thoughts on Yelich calling it a season?
No, you just start to wonder, 2025, is this the type of surgery that will fix things, or will that be the start of many repeated back surgeries and just kind of not do it? So that's going to be a major question. I know in our draft next Wednesday is where does Yelich go. I'm sure he'll go in the first 11 rounds, which is what we're doing, but probably a good thing for Yelich's long term and for 2025, hoping to try and nip this thing in the bud, because the back has been bothering him for at least the last like 2-3 years. Yep. So it wasn't going to go away, and now he finally decided to go under the knife. I think he's going under Friday, so
yeah, sooner the better, get that thing fixed up. But, you know, there's the Kershaws, the Scherzers of the world. The back keeps coming back. I got a good buddy of mine. He's a tall guy, though, so that's why part of the back problems. But he's had 4 or 5 surgeries. The best one he had was kind of like Tiger Woods. He had to go to, like, Germany to get fusion stuff done. But he still has issues. The back doesn't get good.
My older brother, who might actually be listening tonight, I'll let him know. I'll find out tomorrow. He's had seven back surgeries.
It's crazy. It doesn't go away. So hopefully for the best, because Yelich, even with the back hurting in the last few years, was a very good fantasy contributor. So if you're, like you said, on Wednesday, we'll find out if people are optimistic that we see him for the whole year, but we will go from there. Yep, there's your brother in the chat. Do we have to talk about back surgeries? Yeah, do we have to talk about back surgeries? And he says he's had 6.
Okay, only 6. All right, I gave him too much credit. Give him too much credit. Hopefully number seven is will never happen.
Let's hope not. If he comes to the FPAS, it might. all right, next bit of news here. Byron Buxton heads to the IL with a hip injury. He ran into the center field wall over the weekend. He was day-to-day. MRI came back clean on Tuesday, but it's just not healing properly. So they figured put him on the IL, at least get someone to play in the roster spot for now and hopefully get him back. It's backdated, so technically I think he comes back in like 5 or 6 days if he's feeling better. So he wouldn't be gone too long. Your boy, Edward Julian, got recalled. I know you're a big fan of Julian in the past. So any thoughts on this transaction?
Former boy, divorce from Edward Julian. I don't have too much here. I mean, it kind of sounds like Jose Miranda was the DH on Thursday. It kind of sounds like this is just going to be a rotational thing. Whoever fills in at DH for Buxton, who did make it. Well, no, he only made it 335 plate appearances this year. I guess he's not out for the year, so we'll see what he ends up getting. I'd love to see him get 400. That hasn't happened in quite some time. But no, I don't think there's much fallout from this. Like, it's just going to be, I mean, this is team line change that we talk about every week, and Edward Julian, if he's on the active roster, will be playing against right-handed pitchers, not playing all that well.
Yep, 100% with you on that one. So we'll see how it plays out, but team line change, we'll see how much that actually takes place. Bobby Miller, this was a funny one. Gets scratched from his start at minor. I'm not calling a rehab start anymore. He's in AAA, folks. He's got scratched from his start on Thursday at AAA, but it wasn't injury related. The Dodgers might need a starting pitcher on Friday, or, you know, Kershaw's throwing on Sunday, so they might need another pitcher on Sunday. So they pulled Bobby Miller for the chance to rejoin the team this weekend. The original game plan was to have Bobby Miller throw on Thursday and then rejoin the team sometime in like the middle of next week. So just keep that in mind. If you're in a daily league and you like torture, Bobby Miller might be back for you this weekend.
We don't like torture, so we won't be doing that. I think I took Bobby Miller in like the fifth or sixth round of a league or two this year. And God, that's like by far one of the top starting pitcher busts of 2024. It's been brutal. Absolutely brutal. Injuries or just a combination of that and just him being awful if he was healthy. So I don't know.
You know, a fun discussion when we do our starting pitching recap. Who was the worst bust, Buehler or Miller, when it comes to price point? That'll be fun.
Yeah. I mean, Buehler didn't, he wasn't drafted that high, was he?
Depending on when we drafted.
That's true. No, you're right. Yeah. Early draft. You're right. Buehler was up there.
Yeah.
So I'd have to say Miller. Miller was like I think a fifth, sixth round pick. Oh, SP1, SP2. Yeah. Like that's a tough one. Exactly. It's a tough one to come back from.
All right. The Detroit Tigers have apparently made it known that they're looking forward to 2025. And when you do that, you got to see what you got in the minors if they're going to contribute in 2025. So they're going to call up two other prospects on Friday. We'll start with the first one here, shortstop Trey Sweeney, who was acquired in the Jack Flaherty deal. Everyone said, only two prospects going to the Dodgers. What? Well, Sweeney's already getting the call. He's hitting .267 on the year with 15 home runs and 20 stolen bases over 107 games between the Dodgers and the Tigers AAA system. He's got three multi-hit games in the last four games with the Tigers system. So he's going to get the call-up. Any interest in a guy like Trey Sweeney?
Yeah, mildly. Probably actually more so than Jace Young, who admittedly is a much better long-term prospect. But Sweeney at least steals some bags. You mentioned the 20 steals so far this year, Bubba. Had 20 last year in the Yankees organization as well. Somewhat of an elevated K rate in AAA, which you don't like to see. But runs has some pop, and you like that combination from a middle infielder. So Trey Sweeney is interesting to me. And with both of these guys, it's both going to come down to playing time. And even if the playing time's there, like I'm still, given the state of hitting prospects this year, like I'm not expecting too much. But of the two, I'd actually probably prioritize Sweeney over Young, even though Young's the better long-term guy.
Yep, I'm with you. Sweeney's got the speed. I'm there because Young, who's going to get called up on Friday, he's got 14 homers, hitting .257, two steals, walks like crazy. So good plate discipline. Saw some prospect guys say, yeah, long term, he's got the power. Right now, he's just lacking consistent contact. He doesn't chase, but it's like the quality of consistent contact is not there right now with Jace Young. But when he does, he hits it a mile. So That's an intriguing option as well. But yeah, I'm not good there. Michael C in the chat said he's fine. Sweeney is a future utility man, I think. Yeah, very possible. We are not prospect guys. Remember that. So, and I'm hoping I don't need any. And Uncle Ted, just keep with the names, buddy, because I'm with you on some of these guys. But my goodness. All right.
Last we're just bit throwing of names out there in the chat tonight. Well,
he Lord. Mentioned Grant McRae got called up with the Giants, went deep.
That's your guy.
He went deep on Thursday. I just don't know how long he's going to be up for, but got his first career home run, first career hit on Thursday. Good for him. But yeah, we'll see. I saw his, if you go on Twitter, his father, who played professional baseball, he's best known for, they showed the clip of him in minor leagues running through a wooden fence and made like the plank of the fence spun around as he was catching a fly.
Yeah, ball. I remember that clip. I didn't. Oh, that's cool.
His dad. That's his dad. So yeah, there you go. Fun stuff there. The more you know, folks, the more you know. Last bit of news here. You mentioned the struggles of minor league hitters, Brian. Coby Mayo heading back to AAA. Didn't help. He wasn't playing very often to begin with. He had 20 total plate appearances since he's been called up. Hit .059 over those 20 plate appearances. It only makes sense to put him back in AAA to play every day until they want to bring him up to play every day. But Ramon Urias is playing. Levon Soto got called up. No bueno for Mayo.
No, I mean, this was the Heston Kerstad. God, I always get that wrong. Heston Kerstad treatment again. And yeah, the 20 plate appearances. I mean, you can't even, this isn't Mayo's fault. Like, I don't know why he was called up in the first place. And I also don't know why Ramon Urias is playing over Mayo, but Baltimore again, smarter than I am most likely. But yeah, a lot of wasted fab money on Coby Mayo. And I'm not even like willing to call this a bust because he never even got a chance to even do anything. So it's just more of like an organizational thing than anything.
That's a great point. Like a bust requires actual time to be a bust. So yeah, I'm 100% with you on that one. All right. That'll wrap up the news and notes from the day, Ryan. Let's get into our fab preview and we'll go team by team schedule as usual. We'll talk CBS most added players and we'll talk some two-step pitchers. When looking at the schedule this week, Ryan, I don't see as much green as usual, but a decent amount, I guess. None of the other bad color. I don't see any five games this week. So what do you see when you're looking at the schedule?
That is good. Yes. No five gamers, a bunch of seven gamers. So a lot of baseball this week. There are a lot of, like, I don't know if suddenly lefties have like spawned from the minors and taken over Major League Baseball. There are a lot of teams with a lot of lefties on the docket. So Baltimore, we'll run through this, but Baltimore gets five lefties. White Sox get four. Colorado gets four. Miami gets five lefties. Pittsburgh gets four lefties. Like, that's, you almost never see a week where you get four lefties. And this week there are a handful of teams that have that. So that was, again, these could all change, whatever. But like, I have not seen so many. I mean, we're both lefties. So we this is a good thing.
We'd love to see it. Yeah.
But I have not. That stood out to me when I was building the schedule today.
No, that is very interesting because, yeah, I think last week we had like one four lefty, two righty week. And I'm like, huh. That hasn't happened a whole lot.
Right.
And now we have a bunch this week, which is usually it's no more than three ever on a week. So very interesting stuff. But I have noticed that I know the D-backs for one, there was another team I was looking at the other day. They are just like, I think there's four lefties in the rotation at least. It's pretty wild. Well, the Giants, they went Harris and Snell and Ray back to back to back. So they have three lefties because then they had Webb go today. So they have at least three lefties. Depends on what's going on with the fifth guy right now. But, yeah, it's pretty crazy out there in these streets. A bird song. So, yeah, three lefties, two righties. All right, enough of my pathetic Giants. Let's talk Arizona Diamondbacks coming up this week. Six games on tap, and that is not the right lefty-righty matchups there. But at Miami, at Boston, three at Miami, three at Boston. Looks like we might get all righties this week for the Arizona Diamondbacks to face, which means, Ryan, this could be a jock jam week if you're feeling frisky. Jake McCarthy continues to just be a monster. If he's still available, knock yourself out. And Adrian Del Castillo is starting to play more than every other day. Not a lot more, but he is. So that's fun. And I'll still fight for Geraldo Perdomo if you'll let me. So what do you like this week? There's actually a lot of potential options in Arizona.
Yeah, I had Adrian Del Castillo down on the hitter side as the one in terms of like Fab to maybe pick up. He is the primary catcher over Jose Herrera. Started four of the last six games at catcher. Striking out, I mean, there's only like 23 plate appearances so far, but it's kind of what we expected. A lot of Ks, but a lot of hard contact from Adrian Del Castillo. So if you need a second catcher, if you're in those murky waters, that's interesting to me. We talked about Justin Martinez last week on the Fab preview, but he has kind of cemented his role as the Diamondbacks closer, and I think is him or Ryan Walker maybe the top potentially available closer left in Fab. I think Justin Martinez is really good. Tons of Ks, walks are an issue, but I think he is the guy for the Diamondbacks right now.
Yep, love the Martinez call. 79% roster, no Cs. I know when I did my recap of Fab, in one of my three OCs, he wasn't picked up, so he's out there. Perdomo and Del Castillo are 23% rostered in 12 OCs. McCarthy and Peterson pretty tight up there. So definitely options, though. If we got six righties in there, and they're, if it stays this way, like Edward Cabrera struggles, Xavier Curry sucks. Rodri Munoz, flip a coin. And then Cutter Crawford and Tanner Houck are not lights out anymore either. Like the best pitcher they face next week is Brian Bayo, who's pretty much throwing six innings, allowing three runs every start. So there's a lot of offense to be had for Arizona, who's also one of the hottest teams in baseball, period. So a fun week to go at it. The only other thing I'll mention, Jordan Montgomery bounced back just to make everybody have false hope again. Just want to throw that out there. But Merrill Kelly is one to also keep an eye on if he was not added yet in your leagues. Like he got added almost everywhere in OCs, but for some reason, if he's not, keep an eye on him as he's back and should be a staple in that rotation.
Yep, good call. And actually, like, I mean, this is more real baseball than fantasy, but Arizona, man, they are only two games back of the Dodgers. They have a fully healthy rotation now. They have a closer. And if we look at our board here, the offense is absolutely humming, almost as good as Baltimore so far this year. Like they are trending in the right direction. Again, only two back of the not so deep Los Angeles Dodgers, along with the Padres, who are also two
Dodgers
back.
Are two back.
NLS, yep, it's gonna be a really fun race. The Dodgers, we'll get to them, but they're in trouble, man.
Well, the NL West, let alone the NL Wild Card, is going to be insane the next like 6 weeks. It's going to be a lot of fun because the Giants still have false hope in the Wild Card. It's pretty crazy out there right now. Let's go to the Atlanta Braves, team that is scuffling at the plate. They have six games coming up this week, all at home, three versus the Phillies, three versus the Nats, two lefties, four righties. We don't have to talk Eddie Rosario anymore because he's gone, which is nice. But Michael Harris is back if you haven't activated him yet. Other than that, it's probably Orlando Arcia with Merrifield if you're feeling anything.
Yeah, the biggest question for me heading into Fab for Atlanta this week is actually in the rotation. Grant Holmes, his last outing was just awesome. I think he's a great add. I don't know if he's going to be in the rotation, though. What's his what percent?
Only 9% rostered. That's a biggie.
In 12 teamers?
Yep.
Damn. I don't know, but Reynaldo Lopez is coming back. So I don't know if Grant Holmes is going to stick in the rotation. If Grant Holmes does stick in the rotation, he's got the skills and he's pitching. I think he threw seven innings in his last start. Yeah, so he's got the length and the skills. So let's see what Atlanta does with that rotation. If we get some tea leaves this weekend, you can use that in your bidding. But I think Grant Holmes is a really good add if he sticks in the rotation.
You know, what I would love to see them do is put Charlie Morton in the bullpen.
I know that's what I was thinking. Like they're obviously sale is sale, but they're not going to move Max Fried. Schwellenbach's pitching awesome. It's Charlie Morton, man. He should be the long guy or something.
He should be, but something about veterans, they kind of let guys do their things, unfortunately. So will be something to monitor along the way. Baltimore Orioles, they have seven games coming up this week. It's one of the first freaky ones out there, Ryan. Three games at the Mets, four at home versus Houston, five left-handed pitchers, potentially three. All three Mets games are lefties, so keep that in mind. And then two, then they finish the week with two lefties in Valdez and Kikuchi, two righties. That's a tough set of pitchers towards the end, too. So what's your thoughts on this Baltimore situation?
Definitely bench your Ryan O'Hearns, your Cedric Mullinses, those guys. And I would think Eloy Jimenez is a really good add this week. Should play a ton against lefties. And your former boy, to a lesser degree, Austin Slater. I know you don't like him. Yeah, but would you, in a five lefty week, would you add Austin Slater?
Oh, he'll be added in all 15 team leagues. He should be. He should be, because he'll lead off five games next week. He will, and that's just the brash reality of things. But I do want to reiterate yet again, the Valdez and Kikuchi starts, they're not walks in the park by any means. Manaea has been serviceable. So in a 15 team, I have no problem if someone rosters Slater for the week. Makes sense. In a 12, I'd hope you have better options.
Yeah, I honestly, though, even in a 15, 150 plate appearances from Austin Slater this year.
Good, man.
He's one home run and three barrels. He's hitting 211. Yeah. Like, I don't know. The playing time will be there. I don't know how good it'll be. I think it's got to be at least 15 team or later. Whereas Eloy is like, I don't know what it is. He's probably owned everywhere. But
no, 40% rostered. I picked him up last week in one of my three leagues. The power is non-existent, which sucks. Is weird, but he still hits for average. He's driving in runs now because he's on a team that actually scores runs.
Yeah,
I have no problem with Eloy Jimenez. The one guy I will mention, though, Ryan, and you laughed at me when the trade took place. He said, why'd you put this on the outline? Sir Anthony Dominguez is right now closing games for Baltimore because Craig Kimbrell's got an ERA over 8 like the last month or two. So Sir Anthony has 3 saves now, I believe, on the year. That would be a guy you mentioned, Justin Martinez in Arizona. You mentioned Ryan Walker, who we'll talk about more later. If I'm certain people, I would not sleep on Sir Anthony Dominguez, who in 12 team OCs right now is 23% rostered.
I just don't think he's as good as a Martinez or Walker, but I agree. He does have the role. He's gotten the last 2 saves. Sir Anthony Dominguez has. The K rate looks good. The control, I just, this thing could unravel like at any point, anyone who has had Sir Anthony Dominguez in the last few years, but yeah, he looks to be the guy in Baltimore. It's a good call out, and Baltimore's going to win a ton of games. So should be plenty of save ops.
Most definitely. Let's head to Boston. The Boston Red Sox play 6 games this week. They have 3 at the Houston Astros, 3 at home versus Arizona. Looks like right now they'll get 5 right-handed pitchers in those 6 games, which bodes oh so well for the Boston Red Sox, as they're one of the hottest hitting teams in baseball. Before we even go to it, Willier Abreu is rostered in 98% of leagues now, so that one's kind of gone bye-bye. But what are you looking at here with Boston? Because they should have Tristan Casas back this weekend as well.
Oh, is he back this weekend?
There was a chance he was getting activated Thursday. That's because his rehab stint is up. They either need to call him up or put him in AAA. So he will be back this weekend.
Good stuff. Yep. We have mentioned Masataka Yoshida repeatedly the last few weeks, but I'll at least throw it out there in a 5-ready week. He is a good one to add. Outside of that, there is David Hamilton if you need steals, but he's going to cost you elsewhere. He's hitting like 200 over the last month, so there isn't a ton there. God, who's your guy? I'm scared to
Nick Sogard, if you need him. He's hitting 250 with 8 runs scored, 6 ribbies, and 2 stolen bases in like 10 games. He's playing pretty much every day at second base for the Red Sox. If you need a middle infielder with a little bit of speed and a ton of runs scored on a week with good matchups, I don't think it's the worst thing you can do.
I guess.
You don't seem too excited about that, but no. That's
related to Eric. You must be related to Eric.
I've thought that since the day I saw him get called up and I was doing one of my shows, but I think it might be his son, honestly.
Eric Sogard's not that old, is he? Jesus.
Those glasses make you look old. Trust me.
The glasses. He did wear glasses when he was playing. So that adds. No, dude, Eric Sogard is born in 1986.
So maybe he had some
fun.
This
can't be his kid.
He's the first cousin of Eric Sogard. Let's look it up. The 26-year-old Nick Sogard is first cousins of Eric Sogard, who bounced around the majors for at least a decade in the platoon role. That's a heck of a first sentence for Eric Sogard. Bounced around for a decade in a platoon role.
Ouch. Oh, Jesus.
But yeah.
All right. Yeah, Nick Sogard. Yes.
And the other thing I'll mention to keep an eye on is Cooper Criswell's pitching on Friday. He'll be the 5th man on the rotation for now until someone else comes back. I know we've had our moments of liking Cooper Criswell. We've been burned by Cooper Criswell, but he's going to start Friday. Then he's at Houston, which is not ideal. Following the week, though, Toronto at Detroit if he sticks in the rotation. So if you want some long-term forecasting for pitching, Criswell could be set up pretty nice if he sticks around.
Last bit that I was going to mention, you kind of touched on this a little earlier, Bubba, but Tanner Houck has been straight awful lately. So it's someone who, like, it's kind of like the Gene Segura award of pitchers. He pitches so well in the first half. Second half, he has 22 strikeouts, 21 walks. since July, expected ERA around 5. And this is something like it could just be a bad stretch, but this is someone who's entering uncharted workload territory as well. Yep. So I would be, if you have, you're not cutting Tanner Houck, but if you have Tanner Houck, just be mindful of that and, you know, maybe start to look for alternatives if you need to bench him down the road, because he has not been good lately.
Yeah, in certain formats, I wouldn't even say you could drop Houck personally if you're in shallower formats. I wouldn't be cute with it because these guys are getting worn down. Like, we're seeing this, and he might have one or two more good starts, but I think he might have like 4 more bad ones. So good luck figuring out when that's going to be, and more damage than good. All right, Chicago Cubs coming up this week. 6 games. They have 3 at home versus Detroit, 3 at the Miami Marlins. Pretty sweet setup there. 1 lefty, 5 righties for the Cubbies. But when it comes to the Cubbies, their offense just doesn't reach out and say, please roster me.
Yeah, I mean, I think we could probably move on. Like, it's a decent schedule, but there's just the good ones are rostered and there's not much. And there's really no movement. Like, the same guys play every day. So it's, we could talk about Pete Crow Armstrong again or Miguel Amaya, but
Chicago White Sox.
No, I mean, speaking of a team you really want to talk about, the Chicago White Sox.
White Sox have 6 games, 3 at the Giants, 3 at home versus the Tigers, 4 lefties, 2 righties. You want to talk the Reds?
Yes, let's go to the Reds.
Yeah, there's really nothing. The only thing I'd say is I dropped Garrett Crochet this week, and I don't fault anybody else that does either.
You can also drop, if you have even rostered, Miguel Vargas. I was on that board just because, you know, take a stab on Miguel Vargas just because he would play every day and hit near the top of the order. That has now changed. Miguel Vargas over the last month is hitting 132 with 1 homer, no steals, and now is hitting like 6th or 7th. So you can move on from Miguel Vargas.
Yep, totally agree. Cincinnati Reds, they have 7 games this week, all on the road, unfortunately. 3 at the Toronto Blue Jays, 4 at the Pittsburgh Pirates. 6 righties, though, out of those 7 games for the Cincinnati Reds, so it could still be a Jake Fraley week if you want it to be. Other than that, most of your lefties are probably rostered, but what are you seeing here? Because, and I'll just throw it out there, Ty France, I picked him up this week. He already has 1 home run. Like, the dude's hitting, and he's hitting in the middle of the order, when at least versus lefties, but he's playing every day. So thoughts on that. But
yeah, France is playing every day, first in DH. Liked him more this current week because it was, I think, all home for Cincinnati as opposed to on the road next week. So I don't have much on the hitting side. One thing on the pitcher side, if you're looking for starters, Nick Martinez has pitched well, and admittedly 2 starts since he's transitioned, but 12 Ks, no walks in those 2 starts, up to 94 pitches in Nick Martinez's last start. Would be lined up to face Toronto on Wednesday, and then the following week, a 2-step versus Oakland the Brewers. So Nick Martinez, I think, is a sneaky starting pitcher ad.
100% agree with that one. That is on the list. He's actually going to be in the daily matchups column on Friday. So with you on that. Cleveland Guardians, they have 6 games coming up this week, 3 at the New York Yankees, 3 at home versus the Texas Rangers, 1 lefty, 5 righties. But when you're looking at the Cleveland Guardians, most of these guys are rostered. I will say John Kinsey Noel is starting to hit everything right now.
He is, but he's still striking out a ton. Like, I don't know. This is the guy who's going to be completely streaky, and he is hitting the hell out of the ball when he does make contact. Big Christmas. Yes. But I don't know. Noel is, I think, still just like a 15-team dude. Your call, I must give you some credit, my friend. Lane Thomas is who I think you cut in a couple spots.
Him. He's gone. He gone.
He is, where is Lane Thomas? He's
platooning.
Where is Lane Thomas? Yeah, he's platooning because he's not playing. Yeah. Only 3 starts in the last 6 games and might just be a short side platoon bat. So that's another one who, and I think with these fab previews, drops are just important as ads. You're hanging on to Lane Thomas thinking this is someone who's been good and is good. And it's not trending well right now for Lane Thomas in Cleveland.
Yep. Season's coming to an end. Like, I dropped Lane Thomas for Jake McCarthy. Uncle Ted mentions Alex Call in the chat. Alex Call's been better. There are a lot of guys worth taking a chance on that. At worst, play every day, let alone might produce. So, Lane Thomas was good with the Nats, not so good with Cleveland.
Uncle Ted with the call out, calling him Lame Thomas. So we'll give you give you some credit. We love a good nickname here on
nice
the show.
Freudian slip. I appreciate it.
Give you that.
Colorado Rockies, they have six games this week, all on the road as well. So no Great American and no Coors next week. Boring. Rob Manfred, you suck. Three at the Nationals, three at the Yankees, four lefties, two righties, Colorado Rockies.
I mean, they do have to play, Bubba, half their games at home and half on the road.
They could coordinate them. They could split and go vice. Come on. It's like custody of a child. Figure it out.
Yeah, I guess. won't go there. But no, I have nothing on Colorado this week. You don't want to
Victor Vodnik. Pick him up if he's still available. Sure. Fine. He did blow a save the other day, but he's been lights out. Other than that, he's up to 83% rostered. So that is great to see. Detroit Tigers, they have six games coming up this week, all on the road, all in Chicago. So that makes the accommodations easy. That's a long week in Chicago, actually, if you can't go out and enjoy Chicago. Three games at the Cubs and three at the White Sox, one lefty, five righties. One of the best K-to-walk percentage matchups of the week for the Detroit Tigers, a team that we mentioned is going to get two rookies coming up in Sweeney and Jace Young. We got Parker Meadows back last week. We got Kerry Carpenter back this week.
Yep.
So a lot of options there in Detroit, Ryan.
Virginia Tech grad Kerry Carpenter is back. Already hit a home run since he returned from the IL on Tuesday and is only 40%.
He's hit three. He's hit three home runs.
He's hit three?
Yeah. Jesus. He had two in his first game back and then a game tire or a go-ahead one in the ninth in the second game.
Give my man some more credit here. Wow. Yep. I think Kerry Carpenter, given that he's only 40% rostered in 12 teamers on the NFBC, is like might be the best hitter ad.
Drop Lane Thomas for Kerry Carpenter.
Yeah, like I take Kerry Carpenter over Lane Thomas. Certainly this coming week, because this schedule for the Tigers is beautiful. Like it's the facade. It's Tyon. It's Hendricks. Flexen. Who's that? Kai Bush. Whoever it is.
Kai Bush. Kai. Yes. K-Y.
Put the kibosh on that one, and then Cannon. So like it's a beautiful schedule for Detroit. So Kerry Carpenter, who is hitting second against right-handed pitchers, hell, might even play against lefties. We don't know for sure yet, but that's an awesome ad.
Yep, I'm 100% with you on that one. The interesting discussion, well, we'll talk about the two-step as well, but Brian Sammons threw 5 2/3 with one run, 4 1/3 with one run. They're all piggyback rolls, which make it interesting. That's the only reason I wanted to bring it up so far. We always talk about how if you're going to get these kind of half-assed pitchers, you kind of want them to be in a piggyback situation. Like Maeda pitched great out of a piggyback. I still don't trust Kenta Maeda whatsoever, but maybe that's the role that works for him. Sneaky a win or two. Just wanted to mention that with Sammons because we talked about how good the hitting matchups are. You know, the Cubs are floundering, like they're hit and miss every day, literally. And then you get the White Sox. So Sammons has two decent, he's a lefty, two decent starts if you're in like a deep format, is what I would say.
Very deep. Very deep.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I just want to, you know, just throw it out there. All right. Moving on. Houston Astros, they have seven games coming up this week. They have three at home versus Boston, four at the Baltimore Orioles. That's a ALCS potential matchup there. For sure, we have five righties and one lefty. We have a TBD on the other game. That might be the Cooper Criswell game. So it could be six righties for the Houston Astros to face this week. What do you got for us there?
I don't have much for this lineup. I mean, it's pretty standard. Zach DiCenzo is mildly interesting, but still not playing every single day. More so curious about what's going to happen once Justin Verlander comes back. Yep. That's my big thing. I think we talked about it on a
I wrote about this PT tomorrow like 2 weeks ago. So yeah. Who goes? I think it's Arrigetti, weirdly enough, but he's pitching great. It's between Arrigetti and Hunter Brown.
Unless didn't Ronel Blanco didn't he got hit by like a comebacker there in his last start.
He's day to day. In a perfect world they go six man rotation.
Yep. Yeah, that's what I hope. You can't kick Arrigetti out. I mean, he's been really good, but
if you want Verlander for October, you can't throw him every fifth day.
Yeah. So you wonder if you have Arrigetti, you Spencer Arrigetti, who has been really good lately. I hope he stays in the rotation, but just be aware that that may not happen once Verlander comes back. And I think Verlander's like very close to coming back.
Yes, I'm with you there. Michael C. says about DeCenzo. He's taking outfield reps, which bodes well for his playing time and probably means bad things for Kyle Tucker. So that's fun. Every time I see a Kyle Tucker report, if I could like pull it out of my phone and throw it against the wall, I would. It's some of the worst stuff ever. I just don't get it. Kansas City Royals, six games coming up this week, all at home. They have the Angels for three and the Phillies for three, two lefties, four righties. Do you go back to Michael Massey, who's actually been pretty decent of late? I'm not going to clown on that. Other than that, not a whole lot standing out when it comes to bats, at least for the Kansas City Royals.
Yeah, I like Massey, though. He his back, speaking of Christian Yelich and speaking of back problems again, Massey spent some time on the IL with back spasms and missed Saturday with back issues. So it sounds like that's lingering. I don't have too much else for the Royals. The only big thing is Lucas Ursig has gotten the team's last two saves. Looks pretty damn good. Hunter Harvey's on the IL. James MacArthur started to turn around a little bit, but has been terrible lately. So Lucas Ursig is a pretty good, I know we talked about him last week. He's probably added in a bunch of spots last week, but it does seem like Lucas Ursig is the man right now for Kansas City.
Yep, 73% rostered in OCs, so he's still out there. I always say on this show and the other show is check your leagues, folks, because you think guys should be rostered, and they probably should be, but a lot of people moving out of that oblong sport. So, you can sneak a lot of things through these days. Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, freshly off of DFA and Willie Calhoun. They have seven games this week, three at Kansas City, four at the Toronto Blue Jays. One lefty, six righties. I will always mention Nolan Chenwal whenever we can because I'm just a huge fan of what he can do at the plate. Other than that, it's the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
It is, and I got nothing here.
Yeah, it's rough. Well, you were hinting at this earlier, a team that's in full disarray because they aren't that good. Is the Los Angeles Dodgers. They have six games at home this week, three against the talented Mariners rotation, and then three against the Rays that if their pitchers wake up is a talented Rays rotation. All right-handed pitchers. You said we're going to discuss the Dodgers later. So what did you have in mind when we were discussing the Los Angeles Dodgers?
I mean, I actually had like the rotation in mind because we were talking about Bobby Miller. And so, I mean, the big thing is Walker Buehler is back, but he did not pitch well. I think he pitched on Wednesday. I think he had four walks, three Ks.
Yep.
Like, this is a name value add only, and I think Walker Buehler is going to do more damage to you than help you down the stretch. So,
well, real quick on the Walker Buehler front before you go on with more pitchers, one of the beat reporters basically said because that he Buehler came out in the fourth inning or whatever, so Brent Honeywell had to come in and he basically wore it for three or four innings to save the bullpen, and the beat reporter was speculating. It did not happen unless it somehow didn't come across my news. He was like, poor Honeywell, he's pitched great. He's going to go wear this one on the chin just to get DFA because he's out of options to bring Bobby Miller back, even though Walker Buehler should be back in the bullpen in two more starts. Basically, the beat reporter says the beat reporter doesn't think Buehler sticks around the way he's pitching is what he's saying.
I mean, he can't. So, I mean, but I mean, even if he doesn't, River Ryan's gone. Yamamoto is throwing again. So that's, maybe Landon Knack comes back at some point, but I certainly wouldn't add anyone there this week. So that's about it for the Dodgers. My man Will Smith hit a home run this week. Hit 357 this week. So starting to turn things around for our beer bet a little bit.
Yeah, he's got to play more. That's the key. Got to play more to make it actually work. And that's the plan there. If that's what you really really want to go with, Ryan. But I will say this much, Jose Trevino got activated from the IL on Thursday. The Yankees are staying. He's going to back up Austin Wells, and that better be the case because otherwise I'll never hear the end of a platoon Austin Wells who is destroying baseballs better than Will Smith ever could dream of doing.
That will be beautiful. Yeah. For listeners unaware, Bubba and I have a beer bet August through the rest of the season. My Will Smith against Bubba's Austin Wells. I put a poll out from the podcast Twitter account, and it was 77% Will Smith. So we'll see if the majority is right or wrong here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, we'll see. I think I'm right, but of course. All right, the Miami Marlins, they have six games coming up this week. This is the fluky one you were discussing. It's all at home, three against Arizona, three against the Cubs, five lefties, one righty. That one righty is Brandon Fought, who's actually been pitching pretty well. So I will mention, I love what Jonah Bride's been doing. He's a righty. Yep. I've had him in 15 team leagues already. I think I got him in town a couple weeks ago, or he was in my waterfall and I missed him. But I like Jonah Bride there. I got him in like TGFBI and Barf. I'm a Jonah Bride fan. I'm wishing in 12s I had more Jonah Bride now. This might be the week I get on board, but unfortunately many will, because his 11% roster rate, I would imagine, is over 50% come Sunday at 7 p.m. Pacific time. Yep. So what else do you got here? Because Jonah Bride would be one of my favorite targets here.
Well, that was the one who I was going to mention. So good call out, hitting cleanup. So, I mean, again, not for the greatest lineup in the world, but the top of the Miami order has actually been really good. Xavier Edwards and Jake Berger's just been a freaking monster.
Jake Berger, you say. First George Springer, right? Yeah.
That's starting to widen. That was looking really good for me. And then
that was looking really good. Then when we recapped, it was like neck and neck, and it's starting to. Yeah, it's looking like a grapefruit high noon right about now. So, it's interesting for a team that traded away nine of its original 26-man roster on trade deadline day. They're actually putting like a good effort. One guy I'll say in your 15 team leagues, and again another one you'll tell me I'm crazy for. Derek Hill has actually been good since getting DFA'd by the Giants and coming to Miami. At least serviceable, I'll say, because I use him in DFS for $2,000 all the time in these matchups versus lefties. But like since August 6th, dude's hitting .267, homer, and three steals. That'll play in deeper formats, especially because he'll play in five out of six games. So just wanted to bring up Derek Hill. Like, I'd rather have Derek Hill than Austin Slater, if that helps anybody out.
Yeah, that's a good point of reference, and I would agree with that.
All right, Milwaukee Brewers, they have six games coming up this week, all on the road, three at St. Louis, three at Oakland, one lefty, five righty for the Brew Crew, the Yelich-less Brew Crew. What do you like in here with the Brewers?
I mean, I like the team. There's not much fab business this week. Devin Williams looks elite again. It's good to see him. He mowed down the Dodgers twice.
Yes.
This past series, and looked really good doing it. So he looks ready to go for this final stretch. But what am I missing with the Brewers?
Any luck, love for Black?
No. Tyler Black?
Yeah.
No, he's DH two of the four games he's been since he called up. I just don't, until he gets regular playing time, until Milwaukee proves they will play Tyler Black regularly, I can't do it.
Yep, no, that's fair enough. Like, he's burned us, or like I say, they've burned us more than anything on that one. So I'm with you. I'll stay away. All right, you hear that? That's whistling in the background. It's line change time. Minnesota Twins, six games this week, three at San Diego, three at home versus St. Louis, five right-handed pitchers in six games. Can you finally agree to add Matt Wallner with me? Because he usually gave me like the, I guess, this is a Matt Wallner week.
Dude, he strikes out all the time. What are we at? What's
the score? He scored the game running run tonight.
Yo, he's got a 40% strikeout rate.
Tell me how many home runs he has.
I don't know. Seven. It's nothing special. Seven and 122. That's certainly, I am nothing special. Seven. That is absolutely seven more than me. No, Wallner is a decent ad. I still like Larnick more.
Larnick's not bad. We talked about how bad Kepler's been playing.
Yes, that's what I was going to bring up. Kepler, like, and maybe I was a little slow to react and recommending Kepler in all these right-handed weeks, but it's just seven home runs all season for Max Kepler. I'm not going there. Edward Julian, probably not going there unless you really need some middle infield help.
Okay. Yeah, no, I would not go to Edward Julian either. Because plus, with the backdatedness of Buxton's deal, he might not even be there. So that's a thing as well. Frank, I see your question. We'll get to you at the end of the show, just letting you know in case you think we're skipping out on you there. All right, Minnesota, I just want to check one more thing here because they've been moving around. David Festa, you still Zebby Matthews, man. How excited should we be bidding on Zebby Matthews this week? Because that, to me, any pitcher with control, it moves way up my board because that means he's going deeper into games, chances for wins. Twins are a good team. I'm very, very interested in Zebby Matthews. I think Joe Ryan's done for the year personally. And yep. Chris Paddock still hasn't even done more than maybe play catch yet. So we might get at least a month, if not the rest of the season, is Zebby Matthews.
Yeah, I think Zebby Matthews is a top pitcher ad this week. Like he's up there with probably ahead of Grant Holmes for me, just because even though I sung Grant Holmes' praises, I think Matthews is much safer in the Minnesota rotation. There's some risk with just how fast Matthews has risen in the minors this year that at some point it hits the wall, but the numbers look great at every single level. No walks in his first start in the majors. So Matthews does get a two-step at San Diego versus St. Louis, and then the following week versus Toronto. So the schedule is pretty good for the next couple weeks for Zebby Matthews as well.
Yep, you'll get that. If somehow David Fest is still out there, I'm still a believer. I'd imagine you are as well.
Yeah. Funny note, though. Guess who has more wins since I picked up the wrong Festa? Matt Festa. Got his first win.
Nostra Field over there.
Nostra Bloomis, they call it.
Yes, Nostra Bloomis. They're even better. Well done. Well done. So I think that should be pretty fun as well. Yeah, I'm curious, just for fun, Michael C. says Zebulon. I wonder what bids look like. Yeah. You can only say percentages in theory, because everyone, like, I have some leagues with like $60 left, some leagues with like $250 left. How much would you be willing to throw down? I guess it's all team dependent. You need pitching, fight, whatever situations, but I'm thinking he's going to go for over 50% in a lot of leagues.
I don't know if he'll go that much. I don't know. I don't know, but I'm probably bidding in the $20 to $30 range if I have if I'm in like the hundreds left in FAB, something like that.
Yeah, so 20 to 30%. Okay, no, that works for me.
I don't know.
All right, New York Mets, they have 7 games coming up this week. They have 3 at home versus Baltimore and then 4 at the San Diego Padres. 6 right-handed pitchers on the agenda for the Mets. So it could be a Jesse Winker week. Could be a Jeff McNeil week if you're looking for it. I will say Brandon Nimmo's quieted down quite a bit. So what are you seeing here with the Mets?
The big thing coming up is, I think this sounds like this weekend Starling Marte is coming back.
Yes, 100%.
Which sounds great and all that, but I think it's a straight platoon with Starling Marte and Winker. I don't know if Starling Marte comes back to an everyday gig. Starling Marte was an everyday guy before, you know, when he got hurt, but that was before Winker came in the picture. And they're playing Nimmo every day, and they're, I think, playing Bader most days as well. So I wouldn't be like super excited for Starling Marte in FAB. I just don't know how regular the playing time will be.
Yeah, I guess I'm a little more optimistic than you, but I could also totally see happening what you're mentioning. So I understand the trepidation. I still think somehow he gets out there, but maybe they play it safe with him. So can't deny that. New York Yankees, they have 6 games all at home this week in the Bronx. 3 against Cleveland, 3 against Colorado, 3 lefties, 3 righties. Most of your Yankees are taken unless you're looking for Oswald Peraza.
No, man. Oswaldo Cabrera.
I made sure I said Peraza right. I made sure I did it right.
Peraza got called up, but Cabrera's playing. He's played both games. He's played third base each of the last 2 games, I guess, since the Jazz injury. So I think Oswaldo Cabrera is your ad this week. Unless they start playing Oswald Peraza regularly, which we'll see this weekend, but I think Oswaldo Cabrera is the regular third baseman right now and was hitting quite well before Jazz came, and if he can carry that forward, I think it'd be a decent corner infield ad. But yeah, could also be Oswald Peraza because he was called up, as you predicted on Tuesday's show.
I'm with you. Cabrera's the guy to roster for now, but keep, like I said on Tuesday, I still stand by it. Just watch Peraza. Like, he's been playing really good in the minors, so that should be an option. And I agree with kind of what, this is the other thing with Michael C. said, Marte's playing better than Bader. His bat's better than Bader, so that could get him more playing time too. That's why it's only 3 games. It's only 3 games this weekend, but it's something to keep an eye on how that plays out.
Agreed.
All right, we have the Oakland Athletics here. 7 games this week, all at home in the dump called the Oco Coliseum. They have 4 at home versus the Rays and then 3 versus the Milwaukee Brewers. 6 righties on deck. You know, Butler's already taken. Blade's on fire right now. If he's available, could be a Seth Brown week. What do you like when it comes to the Oakland bats?
Probably a Seth Brown week because most of these other guys, are are taken. So Seth Brown is pretty much a platoon guy, but it's six righties against Oakland. So if you're desperate for corner, Seth Brown has at least had a pulse lately.
What if I told you JJ Bleday is only 61% rostered in 12?
See, I thought it'd be more. Hit it grand dong today.
Yep. He'll be on my fees. He's on one of my three hitters to talk about in the first pitch. He's playing really, really, really well right now. So would you rather have Bleday than Seth Brown? I think I would.
Yeah. Yes. I'd rather have Bleday than a lot of guys. Bleday's really good. We talked about him on Tuesday quite a bit. So he was one of those strikeout and barrel rate improvers. So
okay, so for fun, for the guys we talked about so far, we still have a handful of teams to go. The biggest outfield option out there is Kerry Carpenter. Do you want Carpenter or Bleday?
Carpenter.
Okay. I'm with you there, but I think it's closer than people want to.
Yeah, it's I could see Bleday, but I go Carpenter.
Okay, cool. Other than that, I don't see too much to get too excited about in Oakland. Let's go to the Philadelphia Phillies on this one. Six games on tap, all on the road. Three at the Atlanta Braves, three at the Kansas City Royals. Looks like five righties that the Phillies will be facing. Anything of interest here? It seems like every week we just pass them over because it's the same song and dance.
Yep, it's just so stable. Taiwan Walker's back.
And Tyler Phillips stuck in the rotation. But I will say Robert Suarez is expected back like Wednesday, Thursday next week.
Yeah, and I think Tyler Phillips is gone, and Taiwan Walker will stick. But you don't want Taiwan Walker either. So yeah, that's it. That's all I got.
Yep, so just keep an eye on that one. Pittsburgh Pirates, they have seven games coming up this week. They have three at Texas, four at home versus Cincinnati, four lefties, three righties. Makes picking up guys pretty difficult.
It does, unless Joey Bart is available. What's Joey Bart in 12-teamers?
I'll tell you right now, because I added him last week, and it's been freaking glorious. So
while you look that
59%.
59%. And that's in 12-teamers with two catchers.
Yes. So he's widely available, folks.
Exactly. Even in one-catcher leagues, like, this is a dude last month is hitting .316, five home runs, like, just on fire, the change of scenery. As much as you don't like to hear it, Bubba has really worked out so far for Joey Bart.
Yep. No, it's been great for Joey. I'm actually happy for him. He always seemed like a good guy. I got nothing bad to say about the guy. So kudos to him, and hopefully he keeps crushing it for my fantasy teams. San Diego Padres, 112 WRC plus. I'm really wrong. Seven games this week, all at home. They get Minnesota for three, the Mets for four. Looks like two lefties and five righties.
Things messed up, but yeah.
Yeah, no, it's two and five. I was checking because the first five games are versus righties. So it's a good week for your lefties in San Diego, but again, they're the same lineup every single day.
Yes, I feel like this is the Philadelphia Phillies. It's just the West Coast version because, yeah, it's the same thing every day. And as I say every week, you don't want David Peralta. So, no, we don't. Sorry, we got Uncle nothing Ted. Here.
All right, San Francisco Giants, they have six games coming up this week. Three at home versus the White Sox, three at the Seattle Mariners, one lefty, five righties on tap for the Giants. Tough week outside of the, you know, the weekend, Castillo, Kirby, Wu, the front end of the week, not too shabby. But the question is like, does Grant McRae play? Is he worth the pickup? Probably not. It'd be a Conforto week more than anything for me if you need to look for a streamer from the Giants.
Yeah, outside of that, I don't. No one's jumping out at me on the Giants.
No, I mean, Ryan Walker, if he's available, and right now he's 97% rostered. So it's Conforto or pretty much. Like, if you want to roll the dice on McCray, that's fine, but I wouldn't get too excited on that one.
Very tough to start any Giants next weekend against Castillo, Kirby, and Wu. Yes. Like, the front half against the White Sox is fine, but not that crew next weekend.
Nope. Sit back and don't watch like me. Seattle Mariners, they have six games coming up next week, three at the Dodgers, three at home versus those Giants we just talked about. They get Snell in that one. Kirby versus Snell, that should be fun. But you got two lefties, four righties for Seattle. Anything of interest on this one?
No, the Mariners offense has gone back to being totally crappy again. I think it was Bryce Miller and Brian Wu these last two games against the Tigers. I think 14 or 15 innings, no earned runs, and the Mariners lost both games.
Yep.
Like just brutal. How concerned are you about Julio? Because he had the ankle thing, which was the IL, and then tweaked his ankle
2 days later.
2 days later. Like, that does not sound good to me at all if you have Julio Rodriguez right now.
Yep. All reports, knock on wood, said he's fine. He's day to day, day game after night game, blah, blah, blah. So we'll see on Friday. I'm not optimistic. They rushed him back to play DH. He wasn't even ready to play the outfield yet. So they rushed him back to hit, and then 2 games later, running out of ball very fast, he already hurt his ankle. So I'm with you on this one. I'm guessing on their off day today, they might have done some imaging that we'll find out about on Friday. They didn't say they were going to, but I'm guessing they might have. Well, they didn't have an off day, travel today. I'm guessing he's going to have some imaging done to see if, what, because they're claiming it's scar tissue. When you're out for that long with an injury, you do have scar tissue. You have to break it up. That's how it works. So it could be that. I think there's a bigger percentage it's not. So I'm with you on that one. St. Louis Cardinals, 6 games this week, 3 at home versus Milwaukee, 3 at the Minnesota Twins, all right-handed pitching. But again, not a whole lot stands out to me here.
No, not a whole lot stands out. The only note that I have is Jordan Walker got called back up. But
he's getting the Baltimore Oriole treatment.
He is. And he's a short side platooner. He's not starting against right-handed pitching. So don't get too excited with that Jordan Walker call-up.
Tampa Bay Rays, they have 7 games this week, all on the road. They have 4 at Oakland, 3 at the Dodgers, 6 right-handed pitchers to face next week for the Rays. Who interests you here on this? Like, I doubt Brandon Lau's available. Josh Lowe's probably not available. So those are the big benefactors in this week, to me at least.
That's the thing. They're lefty
bats. You want
bats.
Junior Caminero?
Yeah, I mean, I guess we should talk about Cameron Arrow.
Can I say something real quick? So,
go for it.
Last episode, when we said, why are they bringing him up? They're going to lose rookie eligibility. The Welsh gave me the loophole on Wednesday's
league. Ah, there's a loophole. Okay.
There's a loophole. So, there's the whole X amount of games or X amount of plate appearances to lose your eligibility. Well, in the old days, when your rosters expanded to 40 in September days did not count towards prospect numbers. Now that they shrunk the rosters to, like, was it 28 or 29, they still didn't change that. So all of September's games don't count against Junior Caminero's. The biggest thing will be at bats. So it's like play 2 games, sit a game, play 2 games, sit a game. We'll probably keep Caminero's eligibility for next year.
What? So
yeah,
the September
games
don't count?
They don't count towards the losing your rookie eligibility, prospect eligibility thing.
I have never heard
that. Oh, dude, trust me. When the Welsh talked about
this. The Welsh knows more than I do.
When he talked about it on the show, my mind was blown. You can see me on camera. The entire chat was just going like, what, like, just going nuts. Welsh said they figured it out on his Prospect One show when him and another prospect guy were talking about it, and they all of a sudden, it just clicked for both of them. That when the old rule was set, typical Manfred didn't change it when the rules changed. So
going after Manfred,
exactly. So he could play as many games as he wants in September. That won't be the thing that gets him. It's the at bats right now. So if the Rays monitor his at bats in September, he'll still be eligible to be a rookie next year.
Sure,
it's wild. Makes no sense. Yeah, okay. makes no sense. Trust me, I get it.
Hey, real quick. Somewhat breaking news. Eddie Rosario has found a new NL East team. He's now on the Mets.
Minor league deal, though. Minor league deal.
Minor league deal, but Jesus.
He's got a backup, Jesse Winker.
Caminero. Like, he's probably the top fab guy this week, right?
And I won't have any.
And I don't think I will either. Like, I will put bids in because, sure, why not? But I'm not breaking the bank for Junior Caminero. I just think long term the dude is you know, sky's the limit. But we have seen so many prospects do their thing this year, and it hasn't been nice. So I don't know. And even in AAA this year, Junior Caminero, like, 13 homers and 236 plate appearances. It's nothing. He's hitting 276. Like, that's fine. Only one steal. I don't know. I could be very wrong and he hits the ground running in the majors, but I don't think this is someone worth spending a boatload of fab on this week.
No, if I miss out on this one, I miss out on it, but I'm just not feeling the warm and fuzzies on this one. So I'll go elsewhere with my few dollars I have left. Just like going to Texas, Texas Rangers, six games coming up this week. They have three at home versus Pittsburgh, three at the Cleveland Guardians, one lefty, five righties on tap this week for Texas. Before I pass this over to you, I mentioned it in my news on Thursday. Carson Kelly was traded to Texas a while back. He's played five out of the last seven, I believe, where Jonah Heim's only played two. Jonah Heim is backing up Carson Kelly right now. Just wanted to mention that.
Yeah, which makes Jonah Heim a drop. That doesn't change.
I'd watch this week, and he started on Thursday. Watch this weekend and see what happens. But he's a drop if he doesn't play at least two out of three this weekend.
I would agree with that. That's the one I was going to bring up, is Jonah Heim just quietly not playing. So no, you're good. You're good. You're the catcher, man. That one
seemed like it was flying under the radar. I hadn't seen anything about it, and I saw a note on it yesterday. I'm like, huh. I looked at it a little more. I'm like, and Carson Kelly's actually hitting. There's a lot of other catchers I'd rather have a catcher too, but if you want to stream a guy while he's hitting, I'm fine with streaming Carson Kelly, but just no drop immediately when it gets the wrong direction.
Yeah. Cody Bradford is in the rotation and has returned and has looked decent in two August games. So for starting pitchers, Cody Bradford, who was really good before, I forget what he went on the IL for, but was like awesome for three or four starts. It was his, this is the episode of back injuries. Of course it was his back. Cody Bradford is appealing to me in FAD this weekend. He would line up for
good starts.
He would start against Pittsburgh on Tuesday and then the White Sox the following Tuesday.
And so, potentially Oakland that week if DeGrom, they have DeGrom penciled in there. A lot of this depends on Scherzer and DeGrom. Scherzer took a shot in his nerve, and now he's actually going to throw a bullpen on Friday because he feels better. Finally, so he's going to probably be at least one, maybe two rehab starts before he comes back. DeGrom's got at least two more to go. So these are very, like, Bradford could see Chicago and Oakland that week.
Pittsburgh, Chicago, Oakland, next three starts. That's outstanding. Awesome. So
at the same time, the fact he could lead the rotation, don't spend too much, because I remember when he was getting activated off the IL, the Rangers didn't want to start him again. They wanted him in the bullpen because of his injury. They wanted him to stay back there, and that was not possible. So
I mean, they can easily drop Jose Urania or Dane Dunning. Like, come on.
Well, Dunning literally just made a spot start, so he'll go back to the bullpen for sure. Okay. Then it goes Urania, and then I think Bradford is the last man. Like, once DeGrom, I think Urania goes when Scherzer comes back, and then Bradford goes when DeGrom comes back, is the way I see it.
Okay.
Keep that in mind. Toronto Blue Jays, they have seven games coming up next week, all at home. They have the Cincinnati Reds for three, the Angels for four, six righties on tap, and you could go right now and go get Billy Wagner's son. That's the one thing I'll say. That's the one that entices me, at least in 15-team leagues, Will Wagner. But what else do you like in Toronto?
I don't even like Will Wagner, dude. He's got five homers and 324 plate appearances in AAA this year. Yeah, like, makes a ton of contact. He'll get you batting average. I don't know if he's
going. They either strike out too much. They don't have enough home runs. Like,
well, yeah, man. I'm a picky guy. Can we merge Will Wagner and
Matt Wallner?
Big Christmas Noel or Wallner?
No, John Kinsey. Yeah.
Into one dude. I just think Will Wagner is like a kind of a slap hitter without much power or speed. So I don't know. And I don't think he plays against lefties, which this week doesn't really matter. Toronto gets six righties. So maybe I'm wrong. I've been wrong plenty of times, but I don't see much from Wagner or really the Blue Jays in general right now. Bowden Francis had a hell of a eight Ks in his last start. Still, there's some residual scar tissue from blowups earlier this season with Bowden Francis, so can't recommend him, but
does get the Angels next week, which is nice, though. I'll say that much. Does get the Angels.
Yep.
And I'm not running to go add Will Wagner for people listening, just so you know, but I am interested in what he can continue to do. But yes, and that's about it there. Let's go to the last one here, the Washington Nationals. They have six games coming up this week, three at home versus Colorado, three at the Atlanta Braves, two lefties, four righties. What stands out to you in at Washington?
The call.
Yep. Make the Alex call.
Call. Yep. He's kind of like the new Jacob Young in terms of like just he's on a heater and he's
except he doesn't bases. Except he doesn't steal.
He's got three bags this last
look
month.
Jake, look at me like Jake over the last month. Look how much Jacob Young has. Oh, I'm gonna all critique right. you like you critique mine.
All right, so maybe Jacob, not the best comp.
But... Jacob Young has 27 stolen bases.
All right. I was a 400 batting average through 70 plate appear through 70 that's at bats.
Good. That's pretty good. How many home runs does he have?
Let's see. We pull it up. He's got one, man. You don't like this guy? You don't like Alex Call?
If you need batting average help, I'm in. He's more of a 15 than a 12 for me. Like in a 12, there's you got JJ Bleda, you got Kerry Carpenter, you got multiple options to provide more than just batting average.
All right. Sure. And we got what about the dude I'd never heard of until you put him on the rundown on Tuesday's show, Andres Chaparro, hitting cleanup.
I'm interested in him. I am very interested in him because he's a guy, like I said, an 8-year minor leaguer, but he started when he was 17. Traded from the D-back system, hitting really well this year, power, a little bit of speed, hitting cleanup, like you said, so far so good since he's been called up. We've seen him hit, got another hit tonight. He's hitting 400 over his first three or four games. So yeah. I think there's optimism there. He's even attempted a steal. He got caught stealing, but zero strikeouts and a 17% walk rate. So I'm interested in an approach like that.
Yeah, and Andres Chaparro has made a lot of contact in the minors, 18% K rate at AAA with Arizona. This year at 332, 19 homers. So it's not just Will Wagner type contact quality. It's actually.
I like Chaparro much more. And you know what's fun about Chaparro? If we do this properly, he's not even showing up right now. Oh, there he is. He's third base eligible. I'd rather put money on Chaparro than Junior Caminero.
Whoa, that's a take. It's a take. Wouldn't be surprised, but that's a take.
I think Chaparro plays the rest of the year hitting cleanup or something where Caminero could be sitting here, sitting there. Who knows? Maybe find his way to AAA. You never know.
Hmm. All right. Let me clip that one.
Yeah. Go for it. Bring it up. Make it happen. All right. Any final thoughts? All 30 teams in the books here at scheduled time. But I'm just glad there's no 5-game weeks. This is painful because a lot of people probably set the Marlins on their 2 games in the first half of the week, and that did not go well.
No, some burger bombs, some Xavier Edwards. Bride
bombs. It's rough.
some bride bombs.
Yeah. We had Here Comes the Bride. Oh, man. That would be a great t-shirt in Miami.
Bride bomb.
No, that wouldn't
be. We'll move on.
Yeah. I was just saying, don't get me started, Ryan. We're going to get a bad place here. CBS.
The CBS drops
for the week here. There's Joey Bart leading the way, Ryan. Adrian, two catchers leading the way.
My heart is full, dude. Look at this. Two catchers leading the freaking CBS ads.
Jesus. My heart is full.
Yes. And there's a third. Austin Wells is down there getting picked up in one catcher leagues is what I take from that. Austin Wells from 40 to 47%. Joey Bart up from 10 to 24%. Only 24% still in CBS leagues. So, again, probably a lot of CBS leagues are maybe like 12 team, one catcher league. So I get it. But Joey Bart is playing like a one catcher league type of pickup right now. And we talked about Adrian Del Castillo at the top, more of a two catcher league guy with some pop.
Yep. 100% agree with you there. There's a lot to like there. It's been early in the year, we were kind of saying, man, last year was a lot of streaming catchers. They're not coming this year. The last month, we've been getting tons of streamable catchers. So it's happening.
Look at this dude I'm highlighting, Alex Call. Is up from 4 to 13%. Green in the strikeout rate skill.
Red.
Hey, not much pop.
Oh, I was trying to get to the next spot for you.
But we got some green and stolen bases. So Alex Call is running a little bit in Washington. Again, Washington is a team that runs at least a few weeks ago the most in Major League Baseball. It's probably still the case. So
hey, who's that 30% barrel below him by chance? Can't tell.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, that would be Matt Wallner with a 30% barrel rate. That is,
and that 39% K rate is pretty impressive, dude. That's dark red.
That is bonkers. Yeah, for as impressive as the barrel rate is for Matt Wallner, it's equally impressive how often he strikes out. It is Joey Gallo. I will stand by that one. So here's your guy, Perdomo.
I think, dude, like I know he's not flashy, and a lot of people don't get excited about him, but second base shortstop in the NFBC, plays every day because of his defense. Hits for a decent average, can run into a home run from time to time. Diamondbacks, like we started out the schedule saying, literally one of the best offenses in baseball right now, so he can score runs with the best of them. It's not a bad middle infield option out there, and there's a lot of legs to that one.
Yep. Agreed. I'm coming around since I bashed him a couple weeks ago and hit his first home run the next day.
The Benintendi loves wild. I've gotten multiple messages this week about, should I add Benintendi and drop so-and-so? And I just want to, like, the nicest way possible, say no. But
I mean, is he playing well?
He's hit safely in, like, 2, 4, 5, 8 of his last 9.
Benintendi's got 6 homers, no steals, and hitting .256 over the last month. Like, that's good, but
What Benintendi are you looking at? Oh, wait, never mind. So the last 9 games, right, he's hitting .316 with 5 home runs, 10 RBIs. He's gone. Mm-hmm. He's scorched earth right now. But I still don't trust him as far as I can throw him, but maybe.
Team context, too, with the White Sox.
And they face 4 lefties this week to top it off.
Yeah.
So just buyer beware on that one's all I'm going to say. Hey, look who that is.
Hey, look, here's Will Wagner with a... 8 plate appearances, but as a this is why we have plate appearances on the sheet here, because Will Wagner does not have a 29% barrel rate. He hit 1 barrel.
Let's not take
that out of context. So Will Wagner, hey, it is impressive. He hit a barrel in one of his first 8 plate appearances. Like, that is good. So
Andres Chaparro's there doing his thing.
Chaparro's there. Jordan Walker's there. We kind of said no there. Joe Adell. It's really just against lefties is when you can play Joe Adell. Jordan Bride still, even though he's a riser, he's up from 2% to 6%. So we talked about Bride.
Widely available.
Yep. In that lefty heavy week for the Marlins, I like that. Interesting. Christian Moore. Do you know who Christian Moore is?
Nope. No, I do not.
On the Angels. He was drafted this June by the Angels and is already up in Double A.
Another one of those, huh?
Yeah, and might get a cup of coffee by the end of the season, but not fantasy relevant, but would be pretty wild to see a hitter make the big leagues the same year he's taken in the draft. But anyway, who else we got on the bottom of this list?
John Kinsey's down there. Brendan Rodgers continues to actually produce, gets overlooked a ton, hits for average, a little bit of pop. I know they're not in Coors this week, but he's been decent, and he's he spells this with a DG, 76% in 12. So Brendan Rodgers is not the worst thing you can do.
We did not talk about Parker Meadows, I don't think, with Detroit. Maybe
I mentioned him briefly. I said you could add Parker Meadows and Kerry Carpenter, and then we talked Kerry Carpenter for a while.
Yeah, and then
I like Meadows a lot.
I do too, and running. Hitting for some power. I like Parker Meadows a ton. Kerry Carpenter. I like Meadows more than Carpenter, but Meadows is probably more widely rostered. And then we have Eric Sogard's grandson, Nick Sogard, down here at the bottom. 0-2%.
First cousin of Eric Sogard, who was a journeyman platoon player for 10 years. That's such an amazing headline.
Hey, man. Honestly, if you get 10 years in the big leagues, that's from the union. That's a big deal,
dude. I would be a journeyman for 10 years in the bigs all day long. He's like the clipboard Jesus of the NFL. It's pretty good stuff. Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk pitchers on this one. Justin Martinez leads the way, as he should. As you mentioned, Zebby Matthews getting a ton of love. But there's Bowden Francis. People are buying in, Ryan, and that ball percentage looks pretty sweet.
Yeah, I think buying in though, because this past week this current week is a two step. So I think we're seeing some of that with the CBS ads, but let's see how Bowden Francis does on the back half of that two-step before I get interested again.
The Nick Martinez one's the one that I'm really curious in. I was going to say invested. I'm not invested yet, but I want to be invested in what Nick Martinez is doing. Once was going to be a starter, then a bullpen guy. Went to Cincinnati, and like you said, finally coming to the rotation. So that could be fun. We didn't talk Matthew Boyd, who looked really good in his return, Ryan.
Yeah, Matthew Boyd did look really good. It was just one start, 5 innings, but that could be an option. Where is Boyd? He is a two-stepper next week, so we'll get to him in just a sec. But yeah, Yankees, Texas, I don't know. But Boyd did look very good. Threw a ton of strikes, got some whiffs. The strikeouts were there, the walks were not. That's what you want to see from Matthew Boyd. I'm still not Like, would you take Alex Cobb or Matthew Boyd, Cleveland rotation?
Oh, man. If I knew they were both 100% good to go, I'd take Boyd. But I just – Boyd's been hurt for so long, I'm probably going Cobb.
Yeah, okay.
That's tough, though. It's not as easy as it sounds, I'll say that much, because I do like what Boyd can do, and he gave – I think I'm hoping it's not false hope that we saw this past week. I do want to mention Martin Perez real quick. He's made 3 starts since coming over to the Padres. He's thrown 18 in the third line, 4 earned runs with 21 strikeouts. He's looked good. Matchups Colorado at Miami, Pittsburgh. I'll clarify that right now before that gets thrown here. But Martin Perez has looked pretty good. He's got a nice, interesting 2-step coming up we will discuss.
And I want to say, I'm trying to pull up his Savant page, but it's not loading. I want to say the Padres tweaked some.
There was a pitch mix I've read about. Yes, there. I can't remember what it was, but I saw. I think it was Lance Brozdowski or someone was had a pitch mix video about it. I got it.
Yeah. So from July to August, a ton more, almost doubled his curveball usage. Ton more curveballs. Ton more changeups. A lot fewer sinkers and fewer cutters. So more breaking balls, less fastballs with Martin Perez since he has gone to the Padres, which coincides with that 3-start stretch, Bubba, that you mentioned. So Martin Perez, pretty good ad. When you look at the year-to-date skills, they're not that great, but this is someone reinventing himself on a new team.
Yep, definitely interesting. Who else you like in there? You talked Bradford, Walker already. Who else you got?
We talked about Sir Anthony Dominguez. He's up from 2% to 11% in Baltimore. Here's our guy, Nelly Nasty, who I think is in the bullpen for Arizona.
Yeah, that whole situation's a disaster too. Yeah.
You've got David Festa up from 26% to 31% with all green skills. So a 20% K to walk, 12% swinging strike, and a better than average ball rate. So that's really good for David Festa. And the last guy I will highlight. Look at
the good doctor
before the last guy. Look at Trevor Rogers. He is what is wrong? He's just been so good. He's just been so good in Baltimore.
What is wrong with people?
We do have Dr. Foucher. Calvin Foucher is up from 7% to 10%. Has he had any saves this week?
I think he's had one since we've started talking about him. I know I discussed him once on the first pitch when I do my saves recap, but let me pull it up and find out for you. He's gotten 2 saves on August 7th and August 3rd.
Yeah, and the Marlins, well, typical Marlins, have only had 1 save opportunity the last week, and that went to someone I've never heard of, George Soriano, had a 5-pitch save. So that tells me that was like a 1-out save or something. So Dr. Foucher could still be the guy in Miami, but like, he's not going to give you a shot in the arm in the saves category if the Marlins don't win any games. So you might want to avoid that one.
Now, if you play it too safe, you just can't get it done. So figure out how that one goes. I think that wraps up the pitchers, though. Unless
Grant Holmes, last name, Grant Holmes. Then we'll wrap it up. Just talked about him before, but just to recap, awesome skills. He's stretched out. Keep an eye if he can stay in the Braves rotation.
All right, let's talk 2-star pitchers for the week coming up here. We will start in Arizona with our boy Brandon Fott. He gets, I just went off the page like a dum-dum, at Miami, at Boston. Yeah, I'm saying yes.
Yep.
Ronaldo Lopez, if he's back, yes. First Philly versus Washington.
Yeah, the first start at Philly coming off the IL is rough, but yeah, you're starting Raylo.
Dean Kramer at the Mets versus Houston.
Not in 12s and 15s, you probably do.
100% agree, 15s only. Zach Eflin's a yes. I just want to point out, Eflin has made 4 starts with the Orioles. He has 4 wins.
Yeah, he's been awesome. Outstanding.
Yep. Yeah. Tanner Houck at Houston versus Arizona. I would sit too.
I would. I know there's this like narrative that if you sit during a 2-step, you need to drop him. I'd hold, but bench this week, even in a 2-step.
I'm okay dropping if you need to. All right, we got no one in Chicago, Cincinnati. You're starting Hunter Green. Carson Spires at Toronto, at Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I'm throwing that. Good control, good whip. You don't like them, but I do.
A Pittsburgh matchup's good, but yeah, I'm not doing it. Cleveland, Boyd at New York versus Texas. That is so incredibly difficult.
Yeah, I would throw it and just hope the New York start goes okay, because Texas is fine and Boyd looked good in his first start back. So
I'd say 15s, go for it. 12s, I'd hope for a better option. Colorado, you're not going Gomber. White Sox, do you go Cannon at SF versus Detroit? Probably the best situation he's going to see.
Yeah, decent. I still wouldn't fire that Cannon.
What about our boy Salmons from Detroit at Chicago? At Chicago.
I don't know why you like Salmons, but no, he's not any good. I wouldn't do it.
15 teams is intriguing. Houston, Kikuchi, you're going with. Kansas City, Seth Lugo, you're still going there even though he got blown up. Angels, Carson Fulmer at Kansas City, at Toronto. He's been better than advertised, but not great, is what I'm going to say.
I hold my nose even in 15 teamers. I'd much rather Tyler Anderson. No, Carson Fulmer has not been that great this year. And
Tyler Anderson got blown up on Wednesday. It was great to see. But I think you still do it at Kansas City, at Toronto. I'm with you. Start Tyler Anderson. I would not start Carson Fulmer. Agreed. Gavin Stone versus Seattle versus Tampa Bay.
Yes.
It's not as easy as it sounds, but those are good matchups. Tampa Bay strikes out a ton. Seattle sucks. So, you're probably starting Stone. I just don't believe in him. Miami, Edward Cabrera versus Arizona versus the Cubs.
The Arizona matchup is very tough. That team can hit. Cubs a little bit less so. I'd be very hesitant in 15-teamers with Edward Cabrera.
It's 15 or bust, and you might just bust. Milwaukee, Frankie Montas at St. Louis, at Oakland. I think you do it.
Yeah, I think you do it, even though I'm not the biggest Montas guy, but I think you do it.
Zebby Matthews at San Diego versus St. Louis. That's a yes.
Yep.
The Mets, Peterson versus Baltimore at San Diego.
I would do. He's 7-1. Good God.
If he just could control his freaking walks. He's doing everything else so well. So well. Just the walks. That's typical David Peterson.
Missing a lot more bats in July and August. So,
yep. What about Quintana versus Baltimore at San Diego? I'd say yes too. He's been actually.
I always say no with Quintana, but he always proves me wrong. 4.10 ERA is not that bad, so I get starting him.
He's been sneaky good. Did get hit around today against Oakland, but been pretty good. Luis Eel versus Cleveland versus Colorado.
Yeah.
Joe Boyle versus Tampa Bay versus Milwaukee.
That's your boy.
I'd say in 15s, I actually wouldn't mind giving that a shot because Tampa Bay does strike out so much.
Two-step, but Boyle's good for what? 8 walks, 9 walks, something like that this week?
8. He's going to have a 2-to-1 K-to-walk ratio. You can determine the walks from there.
I don't know. Boyle, I don't know if he goes 5 with all those walks. Like I don't know. I guess I'd start him over Estes.
Yes.
Who's the other two-stepper for Oakland? But
yep. I'll give Boyle a shot. If you need strikeouts, give Boyle a shot. If you're worried about your ratios, don't do it. That's the way I'll say it. Pittsburgh, Luis Ortiz at Texas versus Cincinnati. I would go. How does he still have a 3.41 ERA?
I don't know. He's gotten blown up like multiple times. Recently.
That just stood out to me real quick. I'm actually going to pull up his page. I'm curious now. Luis Ortiz. Well, no, 5 innings, 1 earned at San Diego. 6 innings, 4 earned, 5 1/3, 6 earned. But then there's 3 earned, 0, 1, 0. So he had those 2 bad starts against Arizona and San Diego, 2 of the best teams in baseball. And he's pitched relatively well otherwise.
Yeah, not many Ks for Luis L. Ortiz. ERA estimators are more like mid-4s as opposed to the whatever 3.41 that he has. I don't think I'd. I don't know what I'd do.
15s, yes. That's all I'll say. 15s, yes. 12s, hope for better options. Michael King, yes. Martin Perez, I'm saying yes. He's a better option, by the way, if you're looking for better options.
Yep, agreed.
Brian Woozy, yes. Kyle Harrison versus the White Sox at Seattle.
Oof. God, he's pitched a little better lately.
He does. He's two-face. Like, which one are you going to get? I'd go yes based on the matchups and just pray to God he doesn't just forget how to throw a strike.
Yeah, I mean, the White Sox and Mariners two-step, that's just beautiful.
You do it. It's like Birdsong burned us all, and he had 2 great matchups. This is like you play these matchups, and you hope the kid doesn't just forget how to throw a strike.
Yeah.
Eric Fede versus Milwaukee at Minnesota.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, Milwaukee's tough, but
Shane Boz and Zach Lytle at Oakland at the Dodgers.
Oh, probably not. Lytle's been really bad lately. Boz, really bad. I'd probably pass on both these guys.
I would too. Boz finally threw innings his last time for the first time ever, but I'm still not believing that's what they're going to do with him. Jose Urania, I think we're going to pass on that. Kevin Gausman versus Cincinnati versus the Angels.
It's crazy that this is even a question, but yeah, I would.
It's yes, but like I was breaking down his stats last night for first pitch. The ratios haven't been horrible over the last like six starts, but he's not striking anybody out. It's so bad. And then DJ Hurst versus Colorado at Atlanta. That's a yes.
Another one. You talk about Kyle Harrison not knowing what you're going to get. Yep. With Hurst, you don't know what you're going to get either. But, yeah, you'd roll with it just for the versus Colorado and hope Atlanta goes pretty good.
Exactly. Like his skill set's very, very good. Just figure it out, please. Figure it out is all I can say on that one. But we'll see. We'll see how that goes. All right. That'll wrap up the Fab preview of things. Ryan, if you're ready, we can do a little listener questions here.
I'm always ready.
In the chat, I starred three of them. We'll start with Frank. Frank says, trade deadline deal. I traded Ryan O'Hearn and Jackson Holliday for Bryce Turang and Tyler Fitzgerald. 9 stolen bases separated 11th and 6th place. Thoughts? If you got Fitzgerald, who has like 7 steals over the last week, you're doing pretty good.
Yes, so the trade was already made. Yeah, traded Ryan O'Hearn and Holliday. So yeah, and that's pretty. Categories are everything. Like Jackson Holliday is probably the best player in that deal, but I like that. That's a good move, especially if you need bags.
Roger Bloomfield says Matthews, Zebby Matthews over Crochet or Houck. I'd say yes.
That's a good over Crochet. I would say definitely over Crochet. I'd be a little hesitant with Houck. Like I'd probably still go Houck, but I could totally see picking up Zebby and dumping Houck. But definitely yep. Crochet. Crochet is
for sure.
Going 5.
Yep. And then Comcast O says, who would you drop? Tanner Scott, Paul Sewald, Foucher, or Ben Joyce? You got to keep the good doctor. If you drop him, you're going to distance yourself in your league. Who else do you like here? Or who would you drop?
I would drop the – I think the easy drop is Tanner Scott, right? Because he's the sure not closer.
Yeah, then Sewald's the second drop. But yeah. Sewald could find his way back there still, so yes.
And kind of low-key, Ben Joyce has been terrible lately. So
yep.
he could be a drop as well, though. I think he probably gets the majority of whatever's left of the Angels saves. But keep the doctor. You could probably drop any one of those other three.
Yep. Michael C. says, would you guys add Scherzer if you can wait a week or two or not interested despite feeling better? I added him last week for $3 because I need pitching and I don't have a lot of money. So I got him for $3 and Brian Bayo for $3, which I'm pretty pumped on. So
kind of seems like he's falling apart, but
he's gonna throw the bullpen rehab start next week. If there's no setbacks, that's a big if. He'll be back for the last week of August. So
yeah.
And when he's been healthy, he's actually pitched well this year, but it's the when healthy part, which is the Max Scherzer problem that we revolve around. All right, we had a couple or maybe one question on the Twitterverse there. Let me see. Yep, it's from one gentleman. Jason Gottlieb, two-parter. Would you rather have Vientos or Lawrence Butler?
Ooh. Damn. I don't know.
Vientos,
do you have a strong feeling?
Thursday.
I know. They're both good.
If you need the power, you go Vientos. If you want the overall player, I go Butler. Butler's got the power, speed, and I mean the average speed, little bit, still decent power, but he'll score more runs leading off for the A's. So okay. If you need power, you go Vientos.
That's fair. Check your runs and stolen base categories, and if you need him, Butler. If not, Vientos. They're both fine.
Yep. Jason Gottlieb also says, can you guys rank these rest of season save options? Hudson, it's been Daniel Hudson, Sir Anthony Dominguez, Lucas Ersig, Aroldis Chapman, and Ben Joyce.
So I'd go, there's a 1A and 1B. It's Ersig and Sir Anthony.
Yep, we're on the same page.
And then not Chapman.
Because I go Hudson, Joyce, Chapman.
I'd probably go Joyce, Hudson, Chapman, but... Yeah, there's a clear top two in that yeah. pecking order.
The Dodgers saving situation, I'd stay far away from if you can personally.
Right, which is why I have Joyce over Hudson. Yeah, and Hudson, I think, blew the save today.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, much to your chagrin. So
sad. All right, that'll wrap it up, my friend. Any final thoughts for the week 22 Fab?
We got it all in, hour and a half, all that info. We probably talked about freaking 80 players tonight.
Easily. I have made a long list, as I always do, so I'm pretty pumped on that one. A lot of good drop information, which is very important these days, folks. So keep the questions coming. Even when we're previewing the 2025 next Tuesday, we can answer all your questions. We'll tweet out for that like usual, but keep those coming, and we'll preview Fab the rest of the way here. Like I said, this is week 22. I think we said it's, 27 weeks? Something like that?
Yeah, I think we got five of these left.
Yep, five more, and then, God, we'll be recapping the season, folks. Just think about it that way. But yeah, be a fun one. So make sure y'all check out Ryan on the Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod. I'm at BD Intric, and if you're in the college football 25 streets, look up Ryan. He plays Xbox, and challenge that fool and see what you can do. But until next time, this was Bubba the Bloom, episode 161. Catch y'all later.